The following message was recorded at the 2012 No Regrets Men's Conference. More information about the No Regrets Conference is available at noregretsconference.org. Feel free to make copies of this message for others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. And now, our featured presentation.
Thanks, Brian. My name is Bob Bartlemy. I am a pastor at Redeemer Evangelical Free Church. We're right off of 76th and Howard. So if I just kept going up 76th Street and turn left, I'd eventually find my way here. Delighted to be here. We're talking on the topic of prayer. And why don't we start? I'd like to open us up in prayer, and then we'll kind of jump into where we're going. Okay? Father, thanks for a chance to hear from you today. And that's what I really believe is going to go on here. We're going to hear from you. I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would give me sensitivity by your Holy Spirit to teach and lead in a way that really would speak to the hearts of the men here so that they would find this to be a little boost of inspiration and motivation and courage to meet you right where they're at in their prayer lives and take it to the next step, whatever that might look like. So to that end, Lord Jesus, I just pray that you'd lead and direct us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, as we're jumping into this topic here, I want to start by sharing with you kind of how I'm going to approach it. And the approach comes because I'm 52 years old now, and I don't think I'm going through a midlife crisis, but quite frankly, I am on a bucket list mission. And I'm kind of checking off those things that have kind of always been there in the background, and I'm going, you know, I could be dead by 60. I'm going to run out of time to do some of these things. So I did the check off the skydiving bucket list item, and that was awesome and loved it. So one of them that was still on there was running a marathon. And that was a bit of a challenge because I came through a season in my life where I was dealing with some health issues. And so I started feeling better and thought, you know, maybe I better run with this because this might be my only chance. So once I decided to do it, I started spending time reading and studying up on what would it take to run a marathon. And through that process, I started learning about anatomy. I started learning about injuries. I started learning about how vitally important rest is, nutrition is. And some of it was reading and studying. Some of it was experiential as I began to train. I actually started training a little after the first of the year in January of 2011, and the training program I was doing lasted right up till September when I ran the race. And it was such a significant experience from the standpoint of learning self-discipline, learning how to stay motivated, pressing through obstacles, injury challenges. But, you know, I got to tell you, it took a ton of time. And one of the things that kind of left me going is, am I investing this much in the race I'm running with Jesus? And then, you know, one of the first things that came to my mind is, why don't I train this hard in prayer? I was just telling you, my own personal journey and different things that go well for us, I love to pray. From early on, it's just been a passion of mine. I love to pray. I've had seasons of great intercession. I've had seasons that were drier than whatever you'd use, fill in the blank, to describe dry. But I've never lost that love for prayer. And so, you know what I said is, I had some guys after I ran it, including my brother, say, hey, that's pretty cool. I want to run one. Will you run one with me? And I was doing the one-time bucket list thing, okay? And then I started thinking, yeah, why not two? Well, one was good, but two probably even be better. And so I started getting convicted, though, are you going to commit yourself to the same kind of training with me? And so I started a training program in prayer. It's got to change. My prayer life isn't the way it ought to be. And so I started working on some of the very things that I'm going to share with you to build up my stamina and get me in a place where I could really journey places with God through the whole process of prayer and my relationship with Him. So that's kind of the background of where this came from. I want to read from Philippians 3, 12 through 14, because it fits my story and it fits the journey you're on. Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. So why does that have an impact? Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, and you could add, in my life. That's the journey you're on. I'm going to tell you straight up. The two things I got to talk about, God's Word is the playbook. The relationship manifests itself in a marvelous way in prayer. Both are a vital part of running the race well. O. Helsby, in his book on prayer, a classic, said this, "The work of praying is a prerequisite to all other work in the kingdom of God for the simple reason that it is by prayer that we couple the powers of heaven to our helplessness." Some of you are saying, how do you keep going when it's not easy? You can't lose sight of this. The power of God is coupled with our helplessness when we spend time with God in prayer. The powers which can turn water into wine and remove mountains in our own life and in the lives of others, the powers which can awaken those who sleep in sin and raise up the dead, the powers which capture strongholds and make the impossible possible. That's prayer. So say to yourself, so if I don't pray, what do I miss out on? Read it again. Can you afford to miss out on that? Do you really want to do this alone? Do you really want to show God your meager abilities and say, this is good enough for me? Or do you want to experience God's power working wonderfully in your lives? Here's the text that I want to use, and we're going to kind of come into bits and pieces of it in the beginning here. It's Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 21. It's a text that includes the Lord's Prayer, so it's going to be a familiar one. And I've kind of broken it up into sections and have cut it up into pieces because I want to hear you guys read it so you can hear it from one another. And it's been handed out to some of you, and it's in order of 1, 2, 3, 4. So if you're, and maybe 5. So if you're looking at it and you say 1, and I go ahead and read, and we're going to maybe comment a little bit on it, then we go to 2, so I'll say next one. So if you just heard 1, what's next one? 2. And after that, 3. So look at your sheet, because I don't know exactly when it stops and starts. So who has number 1? Read that for us. Thanks.
"And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogue and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words."
Okay, it's pretty cool. We're going to get back to that. Tells you a little bit about your attitude in prayer. Some of you asked about just being repetitious in prayer. He starts talking a little bit about you need to stop and think about what your prayers sound like and ultimately what it is that you're really seeking to accomplish by the way you pray. Next section.
"Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors."
Okay, do not be like the ones I just talked about. Here's a model for prayer. It's not the only passage in Scripture that talks about prayer. Actually, there's multiple ones that can just blow your mind at what the scope of prayer really is. But here's Jesus saying, here's a pattern, and we're going to go and look at that in a little bit more depth of how to do. Comparing it to meaningless, repetitious, no thought, hey, look at me, man, don't you like the way I pray? Don't I sound good? Don't you like the words I use? Saying, I'm looking at your heart. I know what's going on. Don't be like them. Do it like this. Next section.
"And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
So there's some actions involved in prayer. It's not just saying words, but then it's living the life. It's putting into practice the very things that we bring before the throne of God. Last, I think one more section, or maybe two. Next one.
And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
So isn't it interesting? If you were studying this passage, you'd go, hey, I hear a little repetition. He went to the heart, talked about a model for prayer, and he's going back to heart issues when it relates to prayer. That must be a particular challenge when it comes to effective praying. Okay? So now, that's probably a very familiar text. What I want to do is I want to use that to kind of talk about the what, why, where, and when involved with prayer. Okay? What, where, when, and why involved with prayer. So the first point, what is prayer? Prayer reveals our true hearts. We see that in this text. He's saying, when we pray, we ought to have an attitude of humility. Prayer that's effective is not about us. It's all about God. It's not about bringing attention to ourselves. It's about bringing attention to God. Sometimes that requires going into a very quiet, secluded place so all the distractions of the world get removed, so prayer begins to focus on what it's all about, and that's God Himself. How many of you change your oil faithfully in your car, say every 3,000 miles, or have it done? Okay, I'm worried about somebody that raised your hand. How about every 5,000? Okay, just regularly, right? Why?
Keep the engine running well.
If I... Yes, if it doesn't, what happens?
Get dirty.
It's going to get dirty first, and then it's going to eventually cease. Prayer is a lot like that oil. It's a practice that keeps your spiritual life well lubricated so that, one, the stain of sin or the impurities, using that example, that get in an engine, don't creep into our lives. Because when they do, we lose that humble perspective and we start looking at ourselves rather than God. And that impacts our ability to exercise faith as we pray. Some of you said, yeah, how do you do this faith thing and keep it focused? That's one of the things you do. You got to be regularly with God in prayer so the impurities stay out in order for you to remain healthy. And if you just set it on the side and say, you know, I don't feel like praying, or I'm not sure if it's being answered, so I'm just going to quit and I'm done with it, you're running a great risk of some serious spiritual health issues occurring, just like that engine where the oil isn't changed regularly. Prayer is honest, transparent conversation in our relationship with God. It's honest, transparent conversation in our relationship with God. That's so important that we really express to God where we're really at and what we're all about. It reminds me of the story I heard of the couple that was out shopping, and maybe you fit this, I sure do. The guy wasn't particularly excited about shopping, loved his wife, so he's like, oh, sure, I'll go with you, dear. And so they're at some store, and she's shopping away, and of course, he's just having the greatest time doing it, and he starts getting bored, and he starts wandering, and she doesn't notice, so she's there shopping, and finally, she's like, oh, where did he go? And she, oh, he's probably over sitting somewhere, you know, he's bored. And now I don't see him anywhere. And so she's getting a little nervous. And so she starts saying his name a little out loud, not too loud, but maybe he's there somewhere and she can't see him. And he doesn't respond. And so now she's moved from a little anxious to irritated, angry, and what in the world? Where is he? And now I'm wasting my time. Instead of doing the thing I enjoy doing, I'm looking for him. And so I'm going to get a cell phone. She gets in a cell phone and she calls, he answers, and, you know, he can kind of tell she's angry. She's like, where are you? I mean, what in the world are you doing? Is she's about to explode on him. He's like, dear, dear, hang on, hang on. She goes, remember that jewelry store we were at? Remember where we were looking at those beautiful bracelets? And her heart just starts to melt, and she's like, oh, that guy is special, and he's my man. And he's like, yeah, I'm at the Home Depot across the street. Honest, transparent, that's not it. Friends, God wants us to spend time in prayer because that's our time to get real with Him. And I'm going to tell you, the more it becomes a habit and a practice, the more you'll find yourself naturally walking day by day, moment by moment, where you're going to start saying, you know, I don't just have my prayer time. I find myself praying all the time because God goes with me everywhere. And I just don't want to live my life apart from Him. I want to live my life with Him. So that's a vital part of it. Prayer is a tool to reveal our true heart. Secondly, we see in verses 9 through 15, why do we pray? Or why do we need to pray? Prayer keeps our hearts focused on God. I've already kind of pushed the issue. Focused on His character rather than our flawed character, we see in verse 9. Verse 10, His will becomes elevated above our will. When you go through the Lord's Prayer and He tells you to pray according to His will, there's a reason. Because we, by default, our sin-stained default, live according to whose will? Our sin-stained, fallen will. And He says, no. So you need to be in prayer to keep readjusting your misguided will, sin-stained will, and redirect it towards my will. Not because I want to wreck your fun, but I want to give you the best life you could ever have that I design your life for. So you want to align yourself with His will. Verses 11 through 15, His provision. We tend to think we earned it, we get credit for it, until we lose it. Stop and think about it. That is my paycheck, God, and I can do whatever I want until the paycheck gets a little thin, and then we start crying out to God, where are you? You said you'd supply all my needs according to your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. You forgot me. You're giving them to the wrong guy. You're supposed to be giving them to me. And God's going, no, when you had them, you never saw me in them. So now you get to see what it's really like. Oh, I don't like that so much. Sometimes we just lose sight of this. It's His provision. He wants us to learn, and that we do this sometimes best through prayer. Everything we have is from where?
God.
Do you need to be reminded of that once in a while?
Yes. Oh, yes.
More than once a day?
Yes.
Sometimes hourly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sometimes minute by minute? You know, one of the greatest tools, and I'm going to give you some practical ways to do this. One of the greatest tools is prayer. To keep your mind focused on God, and it's His provision that we need. He provides for us. And He says that includes developing a habit of keeping short lists with Him through forgiveness and short lists with others who offend and hurt us. And He says not only that, but through prayer you learn how to effectively resist temptation rather than giving in to wow, this prayer thing's kind of serious. Yeah. Oh my goodness. How can I live without it? I don't think you can. Not in any way, shape, or form consistent with what God's vision for your life is. Maybe if you want to narrow it to something very simple and short-sighted, yeah, maybe you can get by without it. But He's saying to His disciples, you need to pray in this way because this is what's gained by prayer. Recognition of our helplessness, He says. Both sins of omission, things we shouldn't have done, maybe we forgot about that we didn't do, but commission, things that we did do that we know we shouldn't have done. He says it helps you understand what are those things that you need to avoid in your life. And it grows our faith. God says, don't pray with empty platitudes. Don't come to me and say, oh God, help me with this, help me with that. And then you walk out the door and you do it your way. You heard Tony Evans say it today. Don't come to God and say, well, God, I'm yours. I'm going to do it this way, my way today, but please bless me. I came to you in prayer and I'll bless it. Right from the start of this prayer, he says, it's about humility. It's about learning to align our will with God's will. Then we're living the life that God called us to live. So why do we need to pray? Because it focuses our hearts on God. I can remember, I want to share two quick things for you. I remember, and I've been in a couple churches, I always get a little nervous sharing these. One of these I can share because the person no longer lives. But great examples of this. I remember in my first church, there was a gal that called, and it was a weird thing. I happened to be there late in the office, single guy, so I was kind of stupid and working way too many hours. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, a phone call comes, and I was like, well, this is weird. It's like 9 o'clock at night, and I'm like, well, this could be serious. And I think it was the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So I picked it up because this was after hours. I didn't feel obligated to pick it up. And on the other end is a gal, and she sounds like she's in just a desperate place. She starts sharing her story. And through that conversation, I had an opportunity to meet her. And as her story started to unfold, she was morbidly obese, absolutely friendless, family-less, no real meaningful people in her life. And she had been in and out of a mental health institution because she kept cutting herself. And as we talked about it, I'm thinking, oh, this wasn't my experience. I don't even know. I'm a young guy. I'm like, wow, how did this happen? And she just starts sharing this. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. There is serious spiritual warfare here. So as I got to know her, we met. And I said, you know what? I got a process I'd like to take you through. It's a very biblical process. It's in prayer. And she came to Christ. I said, no, you're a new creature in Christ. You do not have to be subjected to these voices in your head telling yourself to destroy your body. She had never experienced that in I don't know how long. And I said, we're going to walk through this process, and I'm believing God that he's going to heal you. Now, do you think I was a little nervous about this? Okay, in and out of facilities, nobody was able to help her. Do you really believe this, Bob? And I kept saying, you know what, God, I believe this is true. And I believe if she does this, through the power of prayer and based on your word, it's going to change her life. You know what the coolest thing was? She went through that. She stopped cutting herself. She started moving from a depressed person to a happy person. She started getting her act together. She developed a relationship with a gal in our church. And I think maybe about a year after we met her, she died. And I thought, God, you are so stinking cool. Look what you did. Mm-hmm. That's prayer. That's the life-changing power of prayer. If I had more time, I could give you stories of marriages that got changed, that were on the brink of, they should not have made it. Same thing. Let's do this. Let's do this with God's word and prayer. Let's walk through this. They did it. We're going to believe it, right? Yes, we believe it. And it changed their lives. They're now faithfully married. You know, there was moral failure in that, and they're loving Jesus and serving him faithfully. That doesn't happen apart from God's playbook and this tool, this amazing tool called prayer. Do you agree? I'm trying to motivate you guys. I want you to go out of here going, I'm ready to step it up. We're moving to the next level, okay? So why do you need to pray? Because it keeps our hearts focused on God. Thirdly, where are the obstacles to prayer? Prayer is training in godliness. To overcome. That's the story there. Those are two illustrations. The power to overcome. He says in verses 16 through 18, one of the things that we need to overcome is our pride. Men don't struggle with that, do they?
Oh, yeah.
That's probably one of our biggies, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm good. Look at me. I can do it on my own. I don't need any friends. I'm an island to myself. Look at me, everybody. Oh, yeah, all right. Right? You know what? I love sports. Do you want to know one of my least favorite things about sports? You know why? Because I know Jesus. That's a joke. I'm not impressed with you. You can dunk a ball. You can throw a great pass. Ain't going to change anybody's life.
Nope.
Give me a person that loves Jesus that goes, no, I don't do that. I do this. I want to know that person. I want to walk with that person because now I know I'm with somebody that has the potential to be a world changer. That's what prayer does. It helps us deal with the pride that's in our lives. It really causes us to go places otherwise we may not go. All right, it also helps us with our finite view of things, verses 19 through 21. You know, any of you that are married know this is true. We're a stereotype, so maybe you're not the stereotype. But most of the time, you deal with the problem and you put a male and a female next to it. And the guy is absolutely in the moment, and he's moving into problem solving. Come on, problem, get rid of problem, my life's happier. That's simple. Doesn't care about what preceded it. Isn't thinking a whole lot about what followed it. Let's handle it. So he goes, the wife brings it up, and he's like, oh, I can fix this. He's like, hey, let's get the solution side. Let's figure this out. And then what does she do? Oh, no, Bob. Let's start in the beginning. Mm-hmm. Let's start back a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Remember back, and you're like, oh, I got a ball game to watch, and I got places to go. And well, oh, no. She isn't going to let it. If you're going to be a good man and a good husband, you're going to go, yes, dear. Tell me about it. Yes, dear. I want to hear all about it, right? Because the reality is that is one of the things that we need to think about is we can often have such a finite, temporary view of things. That's true of all of humanity rather than the big picture, which is the eternal one. You know, we need to constantly be reminded of this. Prayer does this. And I say this regularly when I have opportunity to preach in our church. This is not our home. Practice that. This is not our home. Say it again. This is not our home. When you believe that, you begin to develop an eternal view of things. And everything here then you recognize is very temporary. And it's all preparation in leading toward what's going to last for all eternity. Prayer is one of our greatest tools to get us to stop thinking in such a finite manner and start seeing things in an eternal manner. And it helps us deal with our lack of time or the struggle we have with saying, why do I need to do this? Well, this is temporary. You're going to be doing it for all eternity. You want to get good at it? Start now. You want to say, no, I'm going to find out there? Poor you. I'm looking forward to it. A distractionless, in God's presence, time of praying. All the time. Praying, as we're told by Paul, without ceasing. It also, we're told, helps us with our lack of skill or discipline. There's this piece of practice and perseverance that God wants us to learn. He wants us to work at this. This is part of learning how to take on a challenge. Prayer can be a challenge and growing in it to the glory of God. Not like the guy I was reading about who was talking with his neighbor, and his neighbor is like, hey, you know, what is this I heard? I heard that your foreman fired you. What happened? He goes, well, you got to understand, you know, how foremen tend to just stand around and watch other people work? Well, he got all jealous on me because everybody started coming to me. Foremans staying around, watching everybody else work. He got all jealous of me. Yes. You know what? I've watched a lot of Christians look like foremans. And again, we're stereotyping. If you're a foreman, I trust you're not one of those, okay? But the reality is, I've seen a lot of Christians. They stand around thankful somebody else is praying for them, thankful that somebody else is spending time in the Word teaching them, because they want to stand around and watch the action on the field rather than ever getting out on the field and living it. Prayer is one of those tools to get out on the field and experience firsthand what it looks like to live the Christian life. Any questions this far into it? Comments? Make sense? Okay, I'm trying to get you motivated, so hang in there with me. Number four then, when will I begin? I want to challenge you to consider looking at this in a fresh way. Maybe there's one way you've prayed most of your life. Maybe that way got so boring you find yourself not praying again. I want to look at a different approach to it, and there's many facets to it because I think this may help you stay with it. So I want you to start a training program. I want you to join me. You know, this is one of the cool things. I knew I was invited to do this a few months ago, and I don't know about you if you ever had opportunities to teach anybody on anything, but I was like going, I'm teaching on prayer. I'm not an expert on prayer. I don't think I'm God's gift to the kingdom on how to pray. So I'm kind of going through the, wow, of all the topics, Lord, you give me prayer. I mean, sometimes I do well at this, and a lot of times I don't do very well. You're gonna have me stand up in front of these guys and teach them on prayer? And as God often does, and he had a quick answer for me. Well, then do something about it. And I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? He's like, well, if you're going to teach them about it, do it so that you can be speaking from firsthand experience. And so I started developing a training program. I can't tell you exactly what I'm doing because I don't want you to do what I'm doing. I want you to do what God's doing. But I want you to look at prayer with fresh eyes and say, why can't I be in training when it comes to prayer? Well, how would it be damaging or upsetting to God if I asked him to show me a goal like a runner setting a goal of a race has to run toward, to see what God can do in taking me where I am and moving me to where I need to go? What do you think about that? You think you're up to it? This is the opportunity that I think God wants us to do, is wrestle with that and ask ourselves, what might that look like with respect to our own prayer life? So one of the things I have here, and I think it's on your sheets as well, is a suggestion. You know, when you're starting a race, especially as a runner, you know, you start with something easy because you want to get your body used to doing it and you want to have some success. Because when you start something fresh or brand new again and you go full speed ahead, one of the things that often causes failure is you start experiencing pushback, resistance. We call it running injuries. We call it lack of stamina. Yesterday I was out running and I've been injured for a long time. And I want to run one in spring and finally getting up to the health and closer to the fitness level I want to be. So I had a 12 miler I had to run yesterday or Friday. Today's Saturday, Friday. And I was like, oh, I don't know, I'm going to re-injure myself. So first 9 miles, all I was doing is paying attention to my calf, which was pulled, listening to it. And I mean, it's kind of weird, but when you do this a lot, you actually can you kind of hear your body telling, no, yeah, okay, no, slow down, whoa, no. And so I'm kind of doing this thing, and I'm reminding myself the goal for that day, the target for that day was to not come back injured, right? Don't pull that thing again, because then the end goal, it's not going to happen. So I was doing that, and for about the first 9 miles, it was kind of bugging me, and then all of a sudden I could tell, oh, it started loosening up. So I'm like, okay, so I probably can start pushing it a little bit. So I started pushing it a little bit, and still feeling good, and so got to about the 11th mile, and I'm like, I think it's okay. I think this thing's warmed up. And so I'm like, I got to push myself, because now it wasn't just enough to get the miles on my legs, but I knew my stamina wasn't good because I had to really slow down my training to get this thing to heal. So I started pushing myself, and it's funny and kind of creepy at the same time, but as I'm pushing myself, your chest starts hurting more and more. Now, when you first start something, when that happens, what do you think you do?
Slow down.
Slow down. But when you've been doing this for a while and learned what that resistance is like, what do you now know you need to do? Press through it, right? Because it's a part of developing a fitness with respect to what I'm doing. It's no different in prayer. You start out slower to get some success, but if you're going to really gain the momentum and move where God wants you to be, you're going to have to press through the, oh, I'm a little bored today. Oh, I'm a little tired today. Wow, my mind keeps running to these things that I shouldn't even be thinking about. And you think that means quit. But the more you do it, what you learn is it means, God, help me press through it because I'm on to something. I'm making progress because the obstacles are starting to come more and more. I sit in the chair and not pray at all. What are my obstacles?
And that's what happens to a lot of
people. Nothing. Oh, this is great. No, it isn't, because you're not praying. Yeah, but there's no resistance, Bob. Yeah, but what are you missing? The goal is I want to know Jesus better, so I'm going to press forward. So I give you a little suggestion here. a couple ways of looking at it. 3K walkers, we're going to call them faithfully praying 10 to 15 minutes a day, 3 days per week. You're going to move into a 5K walker, a little longer. So how about faithfully 5 days a week, 10 to 15 minutes? Now you're going to move into jogging, 3K, now 5K. So now I'm going to do it 5 days a week, 20 to 40 minutes. Now I want to really begin to challenge myself, and I'm going to be a runner. So a 3K runner, I'm going to try to move up to 40 to 60 minutes, 3 days per week, 5K, 10 days, or 5 days per week, 10K, 10 days in a row. Every time I talk in prayer, when you get up to these, most people are going, are you kidding? Can I tell you something? I'll get right to you. Can I tell you something? If you take this and slowly build up, you're going to be running 10Ks. You're going to start yearning for a half day of prayer. You're going to go, wow, this is crazy. I never imagined praying a whole day. And you're going to be on the internet and you're going to find all these great programs for a full day of prayer. You're going to get done with it and you're going to go, like I did when I crossed that finish line after that marathon, this is awesome. I'm in a place I never thought I could be. Go ahead.
What does K
equal? Kilometers. So if you're running, this would be like if you're running a real race. It would be 3 kilometers, 5 kilometers. I'm just giving you it because that's what runners need to do, and that's often what they do to build up to a bigger race. I think it's vitally important that you and I do that. But here's the key. Don't get lost on the whole process of accomplishing the goal where you get too focused on quantity rather than quality. You follow me? Maybe you're one of these to-do list kind of people. So you're going, you do this 3K thing, you write down your program, here's your sheet now, and you're, I can't just wait. And you do that, you know, 15 minutes, 3 times a day, and you're flying through it. And you do it for about 3 weeks, and you ask yourself, so is my prayer life growing? No, I can't even remember anything I prayed about, but I did it. That's not the goal. The goal is that you meet God. So wherever you start, I want, as part of that prayer time, for you to say, God, I'm here. More than just logging my time, I want to meet you. Show me how to do this day after day in a way where it's real. Where that still small voice you talk about, you know, I'm starting to hear it better. As I'm reading your word, it's starting to make sense. As I read your word, you're starting to collect my thoughts and organize them in a way where I understand you better. That's what this training schedule is about. And that's what I want to finish up with here in the time we have remaining. I'm going to use the analogy of a race because you can find this stuff online. And as I was looking at this, I'm going, this is creepy. This is exactly what I've experienced in my prayer times with God. As I've made these goals and I've journeyed with him and I've moved toward a deeper and deeper prayer life, what I've found is these things that they tell runners to keep in mind, they're the very things I learned as I spent time with God in prayer. Okay? So here's the first one. If you're going to win, you need to think about pre-winning preparations. What does that look like? Honest assessment of where you're at. Where do you want to grow in prayer? Maybe it's praise. Maybe you're not a thankful person. Maybe you're not good at just staying in a process of really bringing your needs, the needs of your family, the needs of your friends, your coworkers before the Lord. Maybe you just go, you know that part about confessing? I just don't even know what to confess to God. Well, maybe that's going to be part of your focus. Where you're at, are you a beginner, an intermediate, or an advanced prayer? That's a huge part of succeeding. Does that make sense? So if you're like going, you know, Bob, I wish you wouldn't ask me, but yeah, I maybe pray once a day for 10 minutes at a time. Yeah, I think about God a little bit. You're not going to do a 10K run in prayer. Not because it's not laudable that you want to set a big goal, but my experience is most of the time, you won't even get close to it. And you'll be back to square one. You want to start with something that fits you. Here's my challenge to you. Do not take in all that we talked about today and do the same thing you were doing when you came. Two reasons. One, I don't want to know about it because it'll make me feel bad because clearly I didn't do a very good job or the Spirit wasn't speaking to you through what I said. Because I don't think God brought you here to have you walk out here the same as you came. Okay? So that's the first part. Secondly is, I really want you to think about this because success breeds success. I want you to grow in your love for God. One of the ways you grow in your love for God is by spending time with Him. How many of you are married? Okay. Does your wife like to talk to you? Okay. I'm going to stereotype a little bit here. How many of you are married to somebody whose wife has a few more words than you do? Okay. My wife loves to talk to me. God's blessed me with a son that loves to talk. I'm kind of challenged by it, not because I don't like to talk, but what I do for a living. I talk. So I get home, I'm not so big on that talk. And I am challenged all the time by God to say, you got to. That's what makes a relationship go. You know how I know that best? It's true in my relationship with God. I don't talk with them. It ain't so good. When I spend a lot of time with them, I love being with them all the more. I think about him all the time. I think about what he wants for my life. See, I think that's what God wants as a result of prayer. So this whole piece of pre-winning preparations, before you even start your journey, you start thinking about it. You prayerfully ask God, help me to set a goal that's reasonable. It's not easy. Here's one of the things they tell you, especially when you train for a marathon. It's not going to be easy. I promise you, if you take your prayer life now and you take it to the next step, it's not going to be easy. How do I know that?
You know, I've done it.
Okay, secondly, how do I know that in your life? Because you're not doing where you're going to go. Right? It's probably not because you've been sitting around saying, yeah, I'd love to do that. Yeah. No. You know, oh, it's going to take more of my time. I'm going to have to get a little more serious about my relationship with God. It's not going to be easy, but it will be rewarding, just as it is for the guy that sets out, a gal that trained for a marathon and gets to the finish line. It's pretty cool. The race I went to, my last name is Bartlemy. Really a familiar name, right? So I got to see a tape after, because, you know, you get toward the end of the finish line, and all you're thinking about is the finish line, and there's not a lot else happening. Because you had 26 miles to just think, okay? Well, you get to the end there. I saw on the tape. It was pretty cool. Listen, I hear, and now everybody, cheer, here comes, and the guy got my name right. Bob Bartlemy is crossing the finish line. And as I watched at it, it was like all over again. It was like, yeah. You know what? I'm going to tell you. It's been my experience. You take that step to run the race well, to move to that next finish line, and you're going to hear the cheers of the angels in heaven. Because it's going to be like, yeah, I'm going to a place in my relationship with Jesus. I haven't been there before. Maybe I haven't been there for a long time. And there's that celebration that I think most guys want to experience that in their life. Yeah.
Okay, this is probably a question most people ask themselves, but how do you know that you advance in prayer? Like, you win a race, of course, you feel like you advance and you pass somebody up or won the race. And, like, sometimes I ask myself, like, you know, I know what I'm praying about, and I feel genuine in my prayer, but how do I know, like, I'm really advanced? And, like, will I... You'll see changes too, but how do you know that prayer was how do you know you advanced just because you prayed?
So for those that are listening, he's asking the question. Excellent question. So how do you know you're progressing? It's easy with the race because you see yourself passing somebody, you go across the finish line. How do you see that happen in prayer? I want you to answer first, and then I'll answer. What do you think?
Things get better
or better isn't always a quality because it doesn't mean God's going to doesn't take us through a hard time. But we see progress in whatever it is that we know progress needs to occur. What else?
You'd be able to cope.
You find yourself able to cope maybe with things you hadn't been able to cope with before. Excellent. What else?
Find yourself able to pray more and feel more comfortable.
Yeah, like the runner that just starts feeling like the lungs aren't as tired, the legs are feeling stronger. I pray more. Hey, this used to be hard. Now I'm making some Ground up. This is awesome. What else?
I think one of the things that, I'm going to come from a different perspective, mm-hmm. is that I think you take your mind off trying to reach the goal.
There you go. I know. I think that's great. Hey, I'll tell you what. When you run 26 miles, you know what you end up doing? And I didn't think about this. It was when I was doing it. You don't think about mile 26. You think about the next mile. Sometimes you think about the next half mile. I ran it in a way where you did 3 miles on. You walked through the water station for 30 seconds and then start the next one. I started thinking about the water station. I started thinking about what I was going to drink. I started thinking about the crowds that were there when it started getting harder and they're cheering. And I'm like, yeah, I can do it. Absolutely true.
The other reason I wanted to say that, if I just continue,
yep, go ahead.
Is that because God is not impressed.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, and that's the quality piece rather than the quantity piece. Right. You don't want to lose sight of that. God wants you. Go ahead, one more.
Prayer becomes more natural.
Yeah.
You just find yourself doing it without trying to do it.
And that leads me to what I was going to say is the biggest thing that you see in terms of your progress. I always go back to any relationship that's meaningful, and I'll use my relationship with my wife, is we've been married for, we're going 19 years. Mm-hmm. You know what's really cool? I'm getting to that place where I can start finishing her sentence. She can finish my sentence. Where I know what she's thinking before she even verbalizes what she's thinking. She knows the things she's going to have to get on my tail for that I'm not doing before I even get myself in trouble. How is that? It's that conversation. It's doing life. That's the passing people along the way. Suddenly I'm going, yes, Lord. I see things I never saw before. I have wisdom I didn't have. I'm 52. You know, I used to think to myself, I hated old people, 52-year-olds. You know, I was like, what do they know? I like being the young buck. And I started thinking, I want to stay a young buck. Look what's happening to me. I'm just not staying a young buck. I love being 52. You know, one of my favorite parts about being 52 is what God has given me in terms of wisdom I wouldn't trade for the 51 years that preceded it. Where did that come from? Time spent with Him. That's when you start seeing the progress. And He gives us just enough, many times just when we need it, to keep advancing even when it's really tough. Are there times where you don't always hear that and see that? Yes. But the better you get at it, the more you press through those lean times when, and I've had those. I used to spend times in a previous church when I was really struggling. I spent times in the woods, and I didn't want to get out of the woods. You know why? Because I was almost arguing with God because I didn't see Him working. And I thought, man, I mean, what did I do? You ditched me. But I didn't want to leave because I knew He didn't. And I wanted to hear His still, small voice speak into my life. That's what it's about in progressing. Go ahead.
I'm not going to be long. I just want to thank everybody that came up with an answer. Because while everybody gave an answer, when I thought about it, the guy who said about being natural, and there was another one about the goal. You losing sight of the goal so much. And I thought about it. I said, well, let me see if that's true. And when I thought about it, it's true. Because when I go to the gym a lot. And when I first came, I didn't even know how to bench press. Mm-hmm. You know, I could probably bench press a hot dog or something like that. But mm-hmm. I mean, now I can bench press like about maybe 150 pounds. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like a stick at first, but then I started with just a bar. Yeah. And I said, I don't really want nobody to see me lifting this bar. Because mm-hmm. you know, as a man, you can think like, I'm
yep.
So finally, I went ahead. And I said, well, let me put a 45 on this side, a 45. And I had me a spotter. And I've been doing so much free weight stuff and so many stretch machines to the point of where I said, man, this is easy. I've been doing maybe 25 or 30. So I said, well, let me try a little more weight. But going forward, because that's a long story, I began to realize that at first, the goal for me was just to lose a little weight. Mm-hmm. Then I got to a point where, okay, I got skinny. But, you know, I had no muscles, like mm-hmm. a peanut butter stick. So I said, well, dang, I'm slim now. I need a few muscles. I started doing my arms, started doing my legs. But in comparison to what they were saying, instead of losing weight, not only did I lose weight,
but I gained a little muscle. I gained exercise. I learned how to train other people to do it. And in turn, it became more natural.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, wow, now I'm at a point of where I could pretty much almost teach a class.
Right.
So
yep.
That's the comparison.
Excellent. Excellent analogy. In fact, we're almost out of time, so unfortunately, I hate to cut it off. And that's why I asked other people to share, because I knew you'd have different reasons, and some of those are going to resonate with us to remind us what it looks like going forward and seeing progress. Let's quickly move through the last couple here. Slow and steady. They have in marathoning, they have the rule of thumb, never increase more than 10%. Do you know why that is? Because it often leads to injury. Okay? Same thing with prayer. You can start making progress. Oh, man, now I'm going to go to an hour. I just made 5 minutes, you know, for the last 3 days, I'm going to go to an hour. It often leads to injury. You stop doing it because now you got to recover because I don't want to do it anymore. So slow and steady. Live the marathon or live the prayer life. Be regular in the Word. Be involved in serving God. Sharing Christ. Why? Because all those things necessitate then going back to the Father for the strength, the resources to do them well. So it's not just enough to run the race, but to live the life if you want prayer to remain vital and critical. Cross-train when you're struggling. I don't have time now, but I'm going to give you here my email. It's BOBB at Redeemer, EFC, all one word, Redeemer, redemeremerefc.com. If you have more questions on these things, I'll share them with you, but I strongly recommend cross-training. Prayer life is a little thin. Daily office, I can explain to you by email what that is. Praying through Scripture, prayer walking, prayer journaling. The variety can be invigorating. The variety can be the very thing that keeps you pressing toward your goal of growing in your prayer life. It says avoid negative splits. There are going to be times where you're going to push too hard or too early. You want to avoid those because they often kill momentum. Be gradual and steady. Let the crowd help you. What do I mean by that? If you're going to be serious about a goal, find somebody to hold you accountable. If you're going to be serious about the goal, find some men to pray with you. They become your cheering group to support you in your journey. Enjoy the fruits of your success. Seriously, what's kept me running the journey in prayer? It's the fruit. When I see what it does in my understanding, like you guys are describing of God and what He's done, awesome. Okay? I'm done, right? So you want to click this off. And if you have questions after, you come see me. Father, thank you.